Welcome to CMO Convo, the podcast where we deep dive into the minds of chief marketing officers from across the globe. Every week, we bring you candid conversations with top CMOs who share their experiences, strategies, and insights into the ever-evolving world of marketing leadership. Join us as we learn from the cream of the crop, uncovering the secrets to their success and the lessons learned along the way.
Hey, Chloe. Thank you very much for joining us today. Before we start kind of like our interview, I wanted to ask, can you tell us a little more about yourself and your journey to the current position?
Sure. Thanks for having me today. As you can hear from the accent, I am Kiwi. I have been very lucky that to get to where I am today, I have been able to work at several different global or large national companies across New Zealand, Australia, the UK, and now the US. I started off in media buying and then moved to market research, which definitely wasn't for me. Once I kind of moved into a brand and comms role when I was at BP Australia, that was when I was in my stride and I knew that I loved it. So I'm very lucky now to be at Unispace in New York. I've been New York for about 2 years, but with Unispace, 5.
Cool.
Unispace is a global strategy, design and construction company. So building workplaces, laboratories, branded environments for some of like the world's biggest companies.
And would you mind sharing what do you love so much about brand? I mean, you said earlier that, you know, that you had a bit of a taste with, you know, market research, and that's like 100% not you. What do you love about brand? I mean, I love brand too, but if you don't mind sharing.
Of course. I think for me, a big part is like brand is not a logo. Brand is completely how people perceive you. What do they think about you? How do they see, feel, you know, your brand? So for me, I love that part of my job, is that every day it's about storytelling, trying to find those right stories, how we tell them in a way that is moving to a person who, whether they watch it, read it. I love that side of my job in brand and comms.
Cool. Thank you for sharing. I also love the very much like, you know, emotional aspect of brand, right? Because it's not just like data driven. It's really emotional and people. There are people behind the brand and you're talking to people. So I love that too. Moving forward to my next question. How have you seen brand influence the overall ROI of an organization? Do you have any specific examples that you can share also from your experience?
We see it every day. You know, it's when you think of the world's biggest brands, your Coca-Cola's, your Verve, they're not the biggest brands that they are today by chance. And they're definitely not that from product alone. A well-managed brand can build brand equity. And that's what you're seeing with brands like Coca-Cola. By being consistent with their brand codes, really strong storytelling, knowing their audience and what they care about, what products they care about, but also what stories they care about. That's how you drive customer preference. It's how you get pricing power and loyalty. And in turn, those things are how you then get ROI. So that might be higher margins. It can be moving into a market more easily, having repeat business. And so I guess one clear example for me at Unispace is that the repeat business part. 50% of our clients are loyal to our brand. They have come back and done multiple projects with us. We've got one client, Boston Scientific, who have done over 40 projects with around the world. So it's, we do more than the product. Our product might be physical space, but what we help them do is reinforce their brand identity with their employees, their customers. And so helping bring those two things together is why people come back to us.
So if I need to kind of like recap that for you, brand ROI measures a lot about kind of like loyalty and repeat purchases.
Yeah, exactly. That. You can't, brand equity means that people are more willing to travel further. They are more willing to pay more. That they're willing to do more for a brand that they feel very strongly about. Those brands with strong brand equity and strong recognition, awareness, loyalty. It's when you see, you know, your favorite local product go, well, for me, I see this being someone who's international. I have brands that I've loved in London, and then I see them come here to the US, and they do it with what seems like relative ease. And we know as marketers that it's not easy. it takes work. But that's because those brands have built up brand equity. It makes it easier for them to do those things.
And kind of like me, I ask maybe a bit more as a person, right? Like, what do you feel when you see a brand that you know coming from from the UK to the US? How does it feel, from your perspective?
Yeah, I feel it's not even my brand, and I'm proud of them. One brand is as well, I think, as a Kiwi, like we're really rooting for, New Zealand's a really small place. You really root for companies that are from New Zealand. And one that's kind of related to the topic we're talking today is a brand called Tracksuit. They're a brand tracking company. They were started in New Zealand. And watching them make waves in London, New York, they definitely go and check out Tracksuit.
Oh, definitely going to do it after our call.
I do not work
No, of course. No, whenever I see, like some brand or something that even reminds me of like Tel Aviv, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, of course, 100% rooting for them. So I can get the feeling. Cool. I'm moving forward to my next question. So, many companies and organizations see marketing as a cost center. Do you have some key steps that marketers can take to shift this perception and position brand and marketers as drivers for revenue, right? Because maybe different stakeholders don't necessarily understand that brand has also connection to revenue. They think, or there's some perception about branding that is kind of like a different creature, So happy to hear your take on that.
Yeah, you're right. Brand is often seen as a cost center, particularly marketing. You see that in economic downturns. Often the first budget to get sliced is the marketing budget, unfortunately. But there's actually a ton of data out there that shows, whether it's through the global financial crisis, whether it was through COVID, the brands like Nike that continue to put money into their brand advertising, they're actually the ones that come out better off at the other end. So it is important to maintain that spend if you can, but to your point, sometimes marketers have to do a bit of rethinking in the way that they speak to different leaders in the business who might not see that immediately. As marketers, it's our job to change how we speak about marketing and branding. Speak the language of the C-suite. Talk revenue, talk growth, talk ROI. Don't walk in the room and expect the CFO and the COO to want to talk about, logos and brand narrative. Like I just said before, brand is not a logo. It is all about perception. So make sure you're tracking perception indicators, and then you can walk into the room and have those conversations with your leaders about how it is really important to build brand awareness, to address perception, because whether it's perception or whether it is reality about your brand, there are things that you might need to do with advertising and narrative to help shift that perception. So I think do your homework in terms of tracking, get the data you need, but speak the language of the C-suite. Would be my advice.
100% agree. Thank you for sharing. Another question from my side would be, getting C-suite buy-in for marketing initiative can be challenging. So really ties to the previous question. Do you have any strategies that you have found effective in communicating the long-term value of branding investments to senior leadership? Because, sometimes we also need to present a bit more short-term value, right? And with brand, it takes time to build up. Brand is not something that you build in a day. So how can for our audience, how can you kind of address that with the C-suite or senior leadership in general?
Of course. I think a big part is understanding that there is the long and the short of it. It's a phrase that if you've heard of, I refer to them as like the marketing effectiveness gods or gurus, Liz Binet and Peter Field. They've done a lot of research in this and looking at how marketing campaigns are far more effective if you focus on the long, the brand building campaigns, and the short, like, so the sales activation campaigns. It's our job as marketers to position brand investment as being critical to long-term growth. I like to think of brand as any other commercial asset. You have to nurture it. You have to invest in it if you want it to grow the bottom line. So the way to have, I guess, those conversations is make sure you're aligning your marketing goals with the C-suite's business objectives. You have to be able to demonstrate that financial return. One way that I do find is easier to show that, because as you were saying, people focus on the short, is when you run those integrated campaigns where you have the brand running at the same time as a sales activation. Over the long term, you do see the kind of cost effectiveness and also just the effectiveness of the engagement on the campaigns. They are better, particularly on LinkedIn as a B2B brand. We really see an improvement when you do run the two side by side rather than one than the other.
I agree. How can marketers use data to show the direct impact of brand on business growth? Right. So are there any specific metrics or KPIs that have helped you to make a stronger case?
I think even when you're in brand, and like I will say, I'm more of a storyteller than a numbers person, but you have to know that when you're dealing with the C-suite and wanting brand investment, data is going to be your best friend. That's probably my biggest piece of advice, is use the tools, use research that's available to you. I think like the LinkedIn B2B Marketing Institute is a wonderful resource. Brand tracking tools, if your business has the budget to do that and have brand tracking, 100% do invest in it. That's how you can see that awareness shifting, the consideration shifting. It helps tell you if what you're doing is working. But otherwise, in terms of metrics, if you don't have that, you know, look at your web referrals. Where are people coming into your website from? Are they slowly coming in directly rather than having to come in through an ad? Look at the media coverage you're getting. Are you actually getting coverage for topics that you want to be famous for and have a voice on? Or are you finding that you're coming up in topics that you don't really care about, or perhaps aren't even helpful for your brand, for where the direction of the business goals are and your marketing goals are? Look at your client retention rates. What are your win-loss ratios when it comes to, you know, bids and RFPs? It's all about making sure you understand how aware people are of your business, but then also how the perception people have of your business is going to impact performance. Does that make sense?
100% makes sense. And thank you very much for sharing. You know, something that I actually, one point that I'd love to check is also Google Search Console. It could be even simple as that. What's the percentage of, you know, traffic from branded versus non-branded keywords, right? And then if you have any SEO efforts versus brand efforts, you can clearly see the differentiation. Yeah.
I love Google Console.
My God,
even
yes.
Even for things like having, you know, internal discussions around people have preferences over certain words. An example within Unispace, you know, we internally like to say say workspace, but actually on Google Console, it shows that people search for offices more. Mm-hmm. So that's a term that we have to lean into in our marketing and our website, because Google Console tells you what word to choose rather than making assumptions or preferences within your business.
Yeah, I'm 100% agree on that. Thank you for sharing. So moving forward to the next question. Brand building often requires patient and sustained investments, which can clash with the short-term revenue goals, as we have previously already discussed. How do you balance the long-term brand strategy with the need to deliver short-term results? So we've talked about it, so running them simultaneously, but is there any other effective way of actually balancing that out?
Honestly, I think it is a balancing act, but you do have to focus on the long and the short. You absolutely can't expect demand gen or lead gen campaigns to work if you haven't built the awareness. It's like anything, you know, think of it like dating. Would you just jump straight into something with someone, or do you need to have a few conversations, get to know them, feel a level of trust? You're not just because someone says to you, hey, I'm a really good person, you should be my girlfriend. Don't just say yes based on that one interaction. So I think that's where I think of it as like your brand building. Like, what are those conversations you're having? How do you build trust and be consistent? How are you showing up every day? I think that's it's really important to focus on that long term.
I think that you're really touching a very important key point. Essentially, you know, long term brand building is a lot about credibility. And as you said, it's about how the brand behaves. And I think that nowadays we know that, you know, like brand should be a bit more empathetic or kind or have some, you know, like conscience behind that. And, you know, it's not just kind of like, okay, buy us because we are the great. It's more because we are aligning with the core value of the audience as well. And I think that that's something that people should, organizations should have in their mind. What is their brand representing? Do you agree?
100%. I mean, you see every day, like, customers change who they're buying from based on, sure, there's pricing things that affect it, there's loyalty, but people are making purchase decisions with how much you align with their goal, like their morals. And same with employees. Employees are choosing where they want to work based on, like, are you a purpose-driven organization? Do you align with my values? So it's really important that a brand knows what they stand for and make sure that they are telling that story every day, as well as running in parallel those tactical campaigns that are more rational sales messaging around, you know, why you can trust that product. But there is this level of importance that needs to be placed on understanding who the brand is, what they stand for at their core.
Could not agree more, yeah. If I may ask, what role does brand play in creating alignment across different departments? So like sale, product, customer success. Is there a way that this alignment can contribute to the organization bottom line? Or let's say even what's happened if you don't have this alignment?
Yeah, for sure. I think you see it in, you know, companies where everyone's able to sing from the same hymn sheet, for lack of a better word or phrase, but it's people need to feel connected to the brand. There needs to be, you know, there shouldn't just be sales and enablement training. Every single person in the business should know exactly what your brand stands for, not just what's the product you create, but how do you want to represent yourself in the market. Absolutely everyone, from, you know, the purchase ledger clerk through to the head of sales through to the receptionist, every single person should be able to turn up at a barbecue and be able to talk very comfortably about your brand and feel a sense of pride. I mean, if they don't feel proud and they don't feel connected to your brand, how on earth can you expect them to then, you know, share anything about your brand when they're going out and meet someone new, whether it's at a networking event? Why would they share your content on LinkedIn? You know, it's things like that. If you want engaged employees, think of it as free advertising. You know, with LinkedIn, you can boost your engagement by 30% by having employees sharing your content. From a, going back to the whole conversation about better conversations in the boardroom, think about how that would affect your bottom line. If you had to pay for a 30% uplift in engagement with advertising alone, that's going to impact how much money you have to play with on other things. So it is really, really important that every single person in the business is connected to the brand and understands how to talk about it.
I agree. I also feel as if, you know, like this alignment, right? So having like a brand book guideline so that everyone speaks also the same language. For me, that's something that also I found that could be a huge contributor to organization, you know, sharing the same storytelling, sharing the same words even, or maybe not exactly, but, you know, like just the same story behind that. That's also could be very crucial.
Yeah, 100%. You know, inductions and things like that are so important. I think when you've been working somewhere for a little while, it's easy to forget all the things. Like, you know, I've been at Unispace for 5 years. It's easy to forget all those little stories that I've learned along the way. And so you have to capture them. You have to write them down. And make sure that you are you know, bringing people who are new to the business along on the journey and understand, yeah, who your brand is.
Agree. So moving forward to our last question in the interview, looking ahead, how do you think the role of brand in driving ROI will evolve in the next few years, particularly in industry like real estate and design where Unispace operates?
Yeah, I think it goes back to our point before that we're talking about the whole purpose-driven organizations and feeling people feeling connected and aligned with a company's principles. I think we've all seen a huge shift in that over the last, I'd say, 5 years. I think that's going to only continue to happen more and more. People are choosing with their pockets. They don't want to buy from brands that do the wrong thing. So I think that's really important. I think there's going to continue to be that real emphasis on ESG. For Unispace, we see that with our clients. They're choosing partners not only based on that rational, you know, like we can deliver quality at speed, take out the risk out of your project. Like, sure, those are all things that, yes, a client wants, but they also want to make sure that they are choosing a partner who aligns with their values, who will help them bring that to life through their project. So we see clients like Zoom, who they value things like sustainability. They are socially responsible. They come to us and say, well, how do we make that happen through the physical space? So one of the initiatives that we have here is called Art for Impact, and it's how you use art in a physical space to help tell that story about what your business is doing with, whether it is sustainability, whether it's DEI. It's art can be a vehicle for change. It's think of it as like a, it's a constant piece that's up on the wall that, you know, people will say, oh, what does that represent? And it gives you another opportunity to again tell your brand story. So I think we'll see more and more of that. I mean, we definitely are seeing that with our clients, is that they are choosing to choose a partner who understands that and is helping them tell their story and reinforce their brand identity, whether they want to be known as an innovative company, a sustainable company, someone who is inclusive, more socially responsible, depends what that story is for them. We're definitely seeing
I agree. I think that, you know, the whole topic of social responsibility, it's emerging, right? Like, I don't know, remember when I was growing up, it wasn't really a thing, you know. It was more kind of like, is it coming from the US? Is it coming from, you know, like Germany? So, you know, like high quality or, you know, like coolness and innovation, right? Like the topic of America in a way. But now I feel that, you know, like people really care. And that's a good thing, in my opinion. Happy to hear your thoughts too. But like, you know, we were talking about social responsibility, and I remember the whole episode of, you know, like Black Lives Matters. And then, you know, many brands, I think even Nike, right? Like even share, you know, like their opinion and thoughts about it. And that was impressive. You know, I was like, wow, I didn't even know that the brand can do something like that up until that moment. And I think that we are seeing more and more of that. I'm happy to hear your thoughts about it. I mean, do you feel that we will see more of that or less, or does it have any backlash or is it just like, you know, like for positivity and for better good?
No, I think you're right, and I think it has to be genuine. You cannot pay lip service to these things anymore. You can't just say, well, we give this amount of money to a charity every year, but then actually when you get on their Glassdoor, you see their employees talking about how, you know, their policies don't align with things. You can't greenwashing and rainbow washing. You absolutely will be called out for it these days. So, you know, make sure you know what you stand for. And it's okay if that's something that you're not there yet on a certain topic. It's okay to acknowledge that as well and say we're on a journey and we're going to do better. But don't go out there and slap a rainbow on your logo and expect that everyone will think, oh yeah, you're doing the right thing with DEIB. You have to really do the work.
Agree. Chloe, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you here as a guest.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a fun discussion.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of CMO Convo. For more content like this, check the recommended videos on your screen now. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to our channel, and hit the notification bell so you never miss a thing.